Good morning, America. This is the Cats Round Table. John Katzmatidis here. It's Sunday morning. And I must tell you, on Sunday mornings, our minds wander. And a lot of us saying, well, what's up there? I have been wondering on the whole UFO matter. What's the truth? What's not the truth? I'm a Star Trek fan for 50, 60 years. And with us is Mr. Kevin Randall, who is an expert in Roswell. Good morning, Mr. Roswell. Mr. Randall, how are you?
I'm fine, and you?
I am fine, and my mind wanders a lot, and I've been a Star Trek fan since I was in college, and I've been told things that I don't know what the truth is and what the truth is not. I've been told that some of the things that Roddenberry wrote about in Star Trek was given to him by certain people. And I also believe that since Roswell, our science has gone to a light year, or at warp speed, so to say. You're supposed to be the expert on what happened on Roswell. Give us your feelings. What is the truth?
I am one of the experts on Roswell, I suppose, with Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, and a number of other people like that. I look at the totality of the picture, and I know of no terrestrial explanation that explains the Roswell case. Interestingly, Don Schmidt and I have eliminated practically every terrestrial explanation, and the Air Force, when they did their investigation in 1995, kind of reaffirmed that and added a note of credibility to it by suggesting they had access to classified documents, which we did not, eliminating additional possibilities. Their explanation came up with this Project Mogul balloon, and they said, well, it was highly classified at the time, and that's why they didn't recognize the materials. But the truth of the matter is the project was classified. What was going on in New Mexico, the launches of the balloons, was not classified. It was regular weather balloons and Raywind targets, nothing for them to be fooled by. So the Air Force explanation breaks down there. So where we are now is there is no known terrestrial explanation for what fell at Roswell. That leads us toward the extraterrestrial, and I talked to a number of the people, including the primary staff of Colonel Blanchard, who was the commanding officer at the time in 1947. I've talked to a number of those people, and the consensus there was that it was extraterrestrial with one exception, and I think he was living under the umbrella of its national security. I can't talk about it, therefore I'm going to deny everything. But all the other officers, including Jesse Marcel, Patrick Saunders, Edwin Easley, Joe Briley, the high-ranking officers on the base, all suggested it was extraterrestrial. So I think when we get to Roswell, that's where we are. It was an extraterrestrial craft.
So we both believe that. I believe that. That it's more so than that. Have all this new science, has it been back engineered from supposedly the Roswell-type crash?
I don't think so. I look at the evolution of the inventions. And when they talk about, for example, fiber optics, well, some of that was already talked about prior to 1947 and the Roswell crash. Transistors, those sorts of things were all kind of in the planning stages, and they were making progress toward. I would think that if we gained any knowledge from the craft that has helped us in today's environment, it would be the composite technologies, because they were talking about the materials picked up at Roswell being more or less a composite material like we use today in our aircraft and that sort of thing. I think based on what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've read about, the problem is the technology is so far advanced, we don't understand it today. I think of if you take a VCR, and for those who aren't familiar with that, that's the video recorders, back to Merlin the Magician with a power pack and a TV, and you're showing the videotape, and it's like a black ribbon. But if you know the secrets, you can get colored pictures and sound out of it. The problem is you have to understand two things that are invisible, electricity and magnetism, which, of course, Merlin the Magician wouldn't have known. And I think that's where we are in the Roswell case. The technology is so far advanced, there are things about it we simply do not understand. And as our technology evolves, I believe we bring that technology to bear on this material to see if we can decode or decipher.
So have you been told that the technology is so far advanced that we have not been able to do anything with it?
Well, I have talked to some people who have made that suggestion, but the problem is I'm not sure they were in a position to really know that, given where they were and who they were. I believe the reason we have not been able to decode the technology is simply because it is so far advanced, we don't understand it yet. And we're applying our knowledge as it grows to that technology to see if we can understand it.
Well, let me ask you a silly question. And then I talked about Star Trek. I talked about Gene Roddenberry, who created Star Trek. Do you believe Gene Roddenberry was getting information from somebody in our government?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
There are we can look at lots of movies and TV programs that have kind of predicted the future, and it wasn't based on inside knowledge. It was kind of based on extrapolation of where our society is going. But when we look at some of the things in Star Trek, for example, their communicators, big deal. We have cell phones that link us to the knowledge of the entire world, carry around in our pocket. Our cell phones are better than the communicators that Gene Roddenberry envisioned for Star Trek. So I think he was just making scientific guesses based on what he knew and what he suspected would come in the future.
I understand. Anything else you'd like to tell our audience?
Well, I think the one thing we have to understand, I think Roswell is one of the best cases that we have. I think the second best case is Levelland, Texas. And I say that because we have multiple witnesses at multiple locations on November 2nd, 1957. The UFO interacted with the environment, meaning that it stalled car engines, dimmed headlights, filled radios with static. And people all around the Levelland, Texas, which is not that far from Lubbock, by the way, were calling the sheriff's office. Without our instant communication we have today, these people didn't know what was going on 15, 20 miles away, where we, of course, know instantly what's going on around the world. But they didn't know that, and they were calling in with the same sort of story. I think it's a very important case. The Air Force explained it as ball lightning, ignoring the fact that ball lightning is extremely rare. It's very short-lived, and it's only about 18 inches in diameter before it pops out of existence in a matter of seconds. And this thing lasted for 2.5 hours. And the craft was described as a much, much larger, and it was quite persistent. I think that's an extremely important case because we have multiple chains of evidence leading us toward the extraterrestrial there as well.
Well, thank you so much for your information, and thank you for bringing the American people up to date, and we'll catch up again real soon.
Hey, it sounds good. Thank you very much.